Foursquare Church. This is Pastor Paula coming to you from my home office this Wednesday evening. And we are continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And your Bible may have the title of Philip and the Ethiopian. Before we read our passage, you know, Jesus' final words to disciples were, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's in Acts 1:8. You know, Philip's life has shown us that he took Jesus' words to heart. He was a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. He took the gospel message to Samaria, where the Lord blessed his efforts as many believed and were baptized. In our text this evening, God will move him on once again to a desert road, what might seem like an unlikely direction, but God has a plan. We will see tonight how God uses his people to evangelize the world. Again, our text is in Acts 8, 26 through 40, and if you've got that open in your Bible, we'll go ahead and read. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Father God, add blessing to your word this evening. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have. Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a few observations here. You know, Philip is instructed by an angel of the Lord to go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. You know, why was he asked to leave a strong ministry in Samaria without any explanation? Not knowing what God required of him, why not send him back to Jerusalem with Peter and John? But Philip faithfully obeys without question. And once there, he would have an encounter with an influential man, a court official of the Queen of Ethiopia. The Spirit directs him to the eunuch's chariot, where he hears him reading from Isaiah. He's actually in Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. This leads Philip to sharing the good news of Jesus and the eunuch being baptized and rejoicing in his salvation, and the Spirit of the Lord taking Philip away to his next assignment. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I love that it was the angel of the Lord that instructed Philip on what to do, and really the Spirit that led him in every step that would happen in this encounter with the Ethiopian. So as we look at what this means for us, I just want to remind us that we often think that we are the ones evangelizing the world. But that couldn't be further from the truth. We are just merely the vessels that God uses to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." We are nothing. It is God's word. It is God that is everything. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in a person's heart in bringing them to faith. Again, we are just the vessels that God uses to bring these truths to someone. He used Philip to expound on the scriptures that the Ethiopian was reading to give him understanding, and it opened the door for Philip to start telling him about Jesus Christ. So number one, God prepares the way of salvation. Again, it's not us. We just need to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, but God prepares the way of salvation. You know, again, he's preparing a way of salvation for this Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he sent the angel to Philip to go to a particular remote place. You know, he arranged for Philip and this man to cross paths, and the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to go up to the man's chariot. Now, the man's riding along in his chariot, and Philip is walking. So I'm sure it was not an easy task necessarily for him. He had to probably just kind of trot up that direction to catch up with him. But he does, and you know, he overhears him reading from Isaiah 53. And we may think, well, that was a coincidence. It just happens to be in Isaiah 53. No, God prepares the way of salvation. So God had prepared for this eunuch to be reading out of Isaiah 53 at just the time that Philip reaches his chariot. So Philip begins to use this very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. Afterwards, they come upon some water where the eunuch was baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, he was already excited. We know he had been to Jerusalem to worship and picked up this scroll of Isaiah's on his way out of town and didn't wait to read it. He's reading it along the road, and God sends Philip along to expound on it and give him more information about what this means, and then it points to Jesus Christ, his Savior, and he gets baptized. And what does this do? It puts a new song in his heart. It's exciting. When we accept Jesus in our life, we get excited, and there's this new song in our heart. There is an extra step as we walk because there's this joy that fills our heart. It's an unexplainable joy. Psalm 35:9 tells us, "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation." It is his salvation. It is not Philip's salvation. Philip had God's salvation that came from his son, and he now has imparted that to the Ethiopian, and God has used Philip as that vessel. So it's very exciting because that's what happens, and our soul rejoices to think that God loves me. He knew all my stuff. He knew all the Ethiopian stuff. He knew everything about Philip, and yet he still chose these men to have salvation just as he's chosen us. And that brings joy to the heart. Number two, God's word penetrates the heart of the sinner. Many people claim to know who God is, that there is a God who created all things. But they can only learn how to be saved through the revelation of God's word. You know, it tells us of the good news about Jesus Christ. So unless you open up his word, and it tells about this from beginning to end, about God's perfect plan of his love for his people and their need for a savior and all the things that take place prior to Jesus coming down and walking the earth and being crucified for us. But you learn that in God's word. This Ethiopian eunuch was on his way home from Jerusalem where he had obtained this scroll. I mentioned that earlier. And not waiting till he returns home, he begins to seek the Lord in his word. He was excited. He's like, I want to know more about this. Maybe when he was in Jerusalem, he heard some of the Christians speaking and thought, well, I'm going to get this scroll so I can learn a little more. We don't really know, but that's what he had done. I do know that as a Greek, he was not allowed to go into the inner court, so he sort of was limited to where he could go to worship, but he did not let that hold him back. He got this scroll. And Philip comes alongside his chariot and explains to him what he had read. God used these prophetic words about Jesus to bring this man to salvation. And you know, we should not underestimate the power of God's word. It is alive. It is living. Peter would write in 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God." And James says, "He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth." And Paul would tell Timothy that from his childhood he has known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. God's word is powerful to save sinners. The Holy Spirit brings the conviction through God's word. And you may say, well, yeah, the Ethiopian was reading in Isaiah, and that was a pretty easy scripture to take from. But any scripture gives you the opportunity to lead someone to Jesus Christ. And you may be thinking, well, what if they happen to be reading in Leviticus and reading about all these laws and all these sacrifices? Well, you know, you can still do that. You go to that and you say, you know what, yeah, these are a lot of laws and a lot of sacrifices that need to be made, but let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He said that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And he would be that perfect and final sacrifice for the atonement of sins. Do you want that Jesus in your life? So any bit of scripture, you can take that and you can lead someone to know more about Jesus. Don't discount any section of God's word, because it is all good, it is all profitable for rebuking and teaching. And we need to be good students of God's word so that we know that. Be in tune to the Holy Spirit, so that maybe if we're not really sure where to go, the Holy Spirit will remind you, oh yeah, that's where what it says there in 1 Peter about it being living and enduring word of God. So we don't have to have it all memorized and all perfect, but God will use us, because again, it is God who penetrates the heart of the sinner. It is God who prepares the way of salvation. It is his word that brings that hope to those who are lost, and we are his vessels. God uses believers to plant seeds from his word. God uses his people, you and I, to share the good news. Here is Philip during exciting work of the Holy Spirit when an angel tells him to go to a desert stretch of road. I would probably be asking the angel, well, why me? Can't you see I'm busy? Can't this wait? I mean, better yet, can't you send someone else? But again, Philip never raised questions. In fact, you know, he just starts out on the road. You know, it's possible that this Ethiopian had passed Peter and John on the way back to Jerusalem when he was leaving Jerusalem. Why not them? Why not somebody while he was in Jerusalem? Because God had a plan not only for this Ethiopian, but he also had a plan for Philip. Because he said again, you know, that we are to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Philip had already been those places, and now God was sending him to the ends of the earth. And he's going to continue on until he reaches Caesarea, which is where he will settle down and make his home and his family. But again, he doesn't raise questions. When God sends you out somewhere, do you question him? Or do you say, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. I want to go where you want to send me. Being the Spirit-filled man that he was, he allowed the leading of the Holy Spirit to direct his steps and to direct his words. This allowed Philip the opportunity to speak with the man and answer his question about the passage he was reading. Again, he said, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? You know, this is the common question. Who is this Jesus? It may not be from Isaiah, but, you know, we oftentimes when we meet people, who is this Jesus you talk about? Is he really who he says he is, or is he just a good man? And then we have the opportunity to share what Jesus has done in our life, how God used his word to speak life into us, how God used someone else in our life to lead us to know more about who Jesus is and to possibly say the sinner's prayer with us. So Philip began from that passage of scripture and told him all about the good news of Jesus. You know, we as believers should all be able to do what Philip did. The answers to questions that non-believers ask can all be found in God's word, in the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, starting with any scripture, with any topic, we're able to preach Jesus. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And fourth, God alone is the giver of new life. When God leads us to minister, he has already begun the work in their life, and he will be the one to complete it. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He was the author and finisher of the Ethiopian's faith, of Philip's faith. of all the disciples and all the people in the New Testament that we are reading about that will come to know the Lord. Next week, we're going to be seeing Paul's conversion. I love his story. He is the author and finisher of a man who was killing Christians and said, I want this man, and I'm going to use him for my glory. Isn't that great? God wants to use you for his glory. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Again, we are merely the vessels. Are we willing vessels? If God calls us down a desert road, will we go? We don't want to be like Jonah when he called Jonah and he says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach so that they can be saved. And he's like, I don't think so. This is our enemy. I don't like these people. They aren't deserving to hear of the good news because God, you are a good God and you will save them. So he runs away, gets swallowed by a big fish, and God spits him out, and he still goes on to do what he is supposed to do, but it still didn't end well. He was still angry at the end of that story, but not Philip. Philip is filled with the Spirit, and he just continues on where God has sent him. In fact, he, as he baptizes him, he's taken up, and the Ethiopian doesn't see him again. And he was fine with that because he just continued to minister. Following Jesus means being willing to sacrifice our desires for him. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. Philip was a willing vessel to be used however God chose. And again, when he baptized the Ethiopian, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took him away. And you and I might say, well, what about follow-up? What about discipleship? What about making sure they're attending church, doing their devotion, serving in ministry? Because after all, we're in charge and we want to continue to be the Holy Spirit a little bit longer in their lives. No. Again, it is God who prepares the way for salvation. It is God who is the author and finisher of our faith. And his Holy Spirit will enter that person that has come in new faith to him. And he will lead and guide and direct them. And he will place into his life those who will come alongside and encourage them and spur them on in their faith. And it's not always us. It's not our job to dictate what one does with their faith. We lead them to Jesus and the Holy Spirit guides them in all power and truth. Although Philip had no direction from God when he was taken up by the Spirit as to his next assignment, he found himself in Azotus. And I have no doubt that he continued to allow the Holy Spirit to guide his steps as he continued to preach the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. He wasn't going to go, wow, Lord, you took me from Samaria and sent me in a desert road. And well, it was great because I got to lead the Ethiopian to know Jesus. But then you just take me up. I didn't get a chance to congratulate him or any of that stuff. No, he just knew that God was the one that was doing the work. And if he wanted to pluck him out and place him somewhere else, he was just going to continue on preaching the good news. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go wherever God is leading you to minister, to tell others about Jesus? Are you willing to go even with little instruction? Just as God used Philip to reach the Ethiopian eunuch with the gospel, he wants to use every one of us to do the same in our communities and beyond. He may even take us out of our comfort zone, but the Holy Spirit will guide our steps. And I'd like to leave you in applying this for ourselves, for all of us, with a very familiar passage from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Again, that's Matthew 28, 18. Father God, thank you for this time in your word. Lord, thank you that you have called each and every one of us to be a witness of what you've done in our life, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, you prepare the way. We don't chart the path. You do. We desire to be used of you, Lord. We desire to go wherever you want to send us, Father God. May we be willing vessels. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I hope to see you on Sunday, and you have a wonderful week.